Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your ultimate window into the kitchens of the world's best cooks. I'm your host, Kara Rhoda. We have two incredibly special guests today, Myra Kallman, an illustrator, author, and designer who is the author of Beloved Dog and The Pursuit of Happiness and The Principles of Uncertainty, and Barbara Scott Goodman, who's an author, food writer, and designer who's the author of The Beach House Cookbook, Wine Bites, and Brooklyn Bar Bites. They've come together to put together this incredible book, Cake, which is really a celebration of our favorite dessert. Myra and Barbara, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Hi.
Before we get started, a quick word from one of our Cookster podcast sponsors. Here's something delicious to sink your teeth into. With Smart for Life, a revolutionary weight loss brand, you can change your eating habits for the better with multiple small nutritious meals each day and lose weight in the process. Using high-protein cookies, protein bars, shakes, and soups, thousands of happy customers have reached their weight loss goals with Smart for Life. Use code CLEVER, that's CLEVER, for 10% off. Go to shop.smartforlife.com to redeem your 10% off today. Again, that's promo code CLEVER at shop.smartforlife.com. So first of all, why cake? What is the story that brought you both together? What were the conversations that led you to really center on this topic?
The silence from both of us.
Who wants to go first?
Barbara, go ahead.
I've been thinking about doing a cake book for quite a while, and I didn't want it to be, you know, a Bible about cakes and baking, because there are a lot of other experts that can do that. But I had always thought about cakes as more of the celebration and more of the part of everyone's lives. And I also was thinking about doing an illustrated book instead of using photography. And I'd always wanted to work with Myra, and Myra and I have known each other for the last 100 years. So I just loved her so much. And I just thought I was thinking about cake. And of course, I would love Myra to illustrate a book about cake and work on with me on that book. And we were talking about it at a party once a couple years ago. And was kind of the birth of this little book.
And it was, right? You know, and really the sense of the celebratory, the way that it began, I think, were we eating cake at the time? I'm not sure. I mean, perhaps were some beautiful cake, but the set, you know, I like the idea of the celebratory moment or the important moment or the ritual. And, you know, Barbara not only has expertise, but a sense of humor, which is really critical to creating any kind of project together. So it was a good fit, both in topic and in spirit of personality, which is a little bit irreverent, a little bit with joy. And, you know, it's like a recipe.
Right.
2 cups of joy.
Yes. We knew we needed recipes. So,
yeah.
So as Myra and I have said through this whole journey here, is like the hardest part for us was picking out which cakes to feature, because there are so many and everybody has such an opinion and strong feeling about cake that we went back and forth for a really long time about what cakes were going to be featured in the book.
When we were, you know, both traveling and asking people, I was doing a lot of traveling through these last few years and going to places like, you know, Bethlehem or Plovdiv, Bulgaria. And when you ask somebody what their favorite cake is, there's no joking around over here. There are serious, deep thoughts. We are now pondering something really important, and I don't want to give you a frivolous answer. So let me think. And it was just so wonderful to see, and that everybody had an opinion and that it was universal. Didn't matter where you were.
Right.
Before we continue, a word from one of our Cookster podcast sponsors. Looking for a breakfast that's worth skipping the snooze button for? Thomas's is the only breakfast brand that delivers a one-of-a-kind eating experience with its original Nooks and Crannies English muffins. There's nothing quite like that Nooks and Crannies texture, perfectly toasted to give you irresistibly crispy edges with a soft, warm center. Take it from a true fan. The secret to revealing that perfect Nooks and Crannies goodness every time is to gently pull your Thomas's English muffin halves apart. You can also use a fork to split them. Just don't use a knife. Next, lightly toast each half and then top them right away with butter. Watch how the butter just pools and melts inside all those amazing little nooks and crannies spaces. It's a delicious burst of flavor in every warm, toasty, buttery bite. If you haven't had them already, you have to toast and butter some Thomas's Nooks and Crannies English muffins. They're truly like no other. And now, back to our podcast.
I feel like so much of that comes from those really early memories, the birthday cakes, the occasion cakes that become sort of almost legendary. That's why I love illustrations in this book. It really sort of allows you to show the cakes as you remember them, as they were in your mind's eye. Can you talk about that a little bit?
The moments in my life that I write about and paint about, of course, are very vivid. And everybody, and the same token, what's your favorite cake? Is, you know, what's the first cake that you remember? Those are very, you know, intense, usually wonderful moments. You know, it's usually an early birthday or something like that. So you have a very good association with the sense of somebody loving you, making a cake, sharing it with people who hopefully love you too. You know, there are variables there, but the sense of that is that you dispense with everything else except the pleasure of this moment, and that it's a shared moment. So I have sad memories too. You know, my aunt trying to console me when my heart was broken by, you know, when I was 16. So that sense of the gesture of making a cake is really one of love.
I love that. I love the memory of the cake you didn't eat, the broken heart cake. And I have to say, when I read that, I almost felt the loss of the cake more than the loss of whoever it was that you were crying over.
The poor boyfriend.
Well, probably the cake was probably better than the boyfriend. Let's just say that. Once again, 50 or 60 years later, let's just reiterate, he wasn't worth it. No, but that he. But it's interesting how those, you know, those memories get codified in your system, in your heart, in whatever else there is in you.
Right. And when you go to someone's house for dinner, or you just see a cake on the kitchen counter and you go, ooh, I hope that's for me. I hope that's for dessert. You know, I better plan accordingly. And it's just sort of like, right. Oh, this is good. This is going to be, this is something special because somebody took the time and the effort and thinks that much about having us over that they made something. They made something. It's very special.
And I don't want to take away from the fact that this is too a cookbook. It's a beautiful, giftable reading book, but it's also full of these great recipes. And in the back, you have, Barbara, some tips and tricks for cake making in general. And I love that in the introduction, you talk about sort of the idea of focus, that making a cake requires attention. Can you talk a little bit about sort of the cake making process and what you would say to people who maybe have not made their first cake yet or are intimidated by the idea?
Right. Well, it is a little intimidating, and I would say one of the thing about baking is that there are rules, and you can't really say, oh, you know, I'm just going to throw in some tarragon that would make it taste better, because it won't. And there's rules, and there's chemistry, and there's heat, and there's flour, and there's sugar and butter, and there's temperature. So you do have to pay attention. And I don't really believe it when people say, oh, I just threw together this cake, because you have to pay attention. And so you do really have to follow the recipes pretty carefully. And I was very careful to have everything tested by someone else after I did the cakes and was satisfied with it, because you really want them to work. And so when you're making cake, when you're baking, I mean, some people have a natural affinity for it. Some people are very intimidated, but you really do have to follow the rules and pay attention. And also for me, I can't be making a cake. Some people can do this, can bake and make a lot of other things at the same time. I just sort of reserve that time, the kitchen time, and the oven for one thing. And it takes some attention. I think that's why a lot of people think, oh God, I can't make a cake. I just, you know, I'm too scattered. But it's kind of great too. It's like, yeah, I do have to follow the rules. I do have to do it at this temperature, and I, you know, have to make sure that my oven's the right temperature and that everything is in order. So it's sort of, that's my thoughts about baking. You got to pay attention.
But I want to add, but it's, that's very appropriate for this, the book, obviously, but that also the recipes in this book are not, they're not intimidating. And I think that they really are meant for a person who's not an expert baker, who doesn't do it all the time, and really let somebody feel you can do this. And the tone of the recipes, the tone of the writing about the recipes is very inclusive, and it's not off-putting, like, well, you know, you think you want to make some kind of grand dessert, but you won't be able to. But really, it's the hominess of the gesture and being able to do it right. So I think that, and that it's accessible, it's doable. So I'm I like that feeling. The next book we do will be inaccessible, and cakes that nobody can make. No, I'm kidding, of course.
this was really for the home cook, and it was like some of them are a little harder than the others, but there's also like the easiest, I think the easiest cake in the book is the olive oil cake, because it's it doesn't have any butter in it. It's just, you just whisk it together, and it's always worked. And there were a couple of cakes like that you know, the gingerbread, that's just like a homey little cake that you could make for someone who's coming over for coffee, or if you're having company, and you don't need to pull out all the stops. It's right. Still, they all still work.
And for me, it's the lemon pound cake, and I just made one the other night. And if you want to talk about mistakes in the kitchen, I made the cake with instead of using two cups of sugar, instead of using 2 cups of sugar, which I thought I was doing, I used 2 cups of salt.
Oh, no.
And, you know, hilarity ensued. I mean, I caught it before I put it in the oven. I took a little lick of it and was horrified to realize that I'd made that mistake. But anyway, rectifiable by starting again.
And yeah, that's the other thing. You have to be willing to just dump it sometimes and go, this isn't working. There's no way I'm going to salvage this. There's no way out. I'm done. I'm going to start over. I'm going to do it tomorrow. In Myra's case, she couldn't have done it tomorrow because it was for a book signing. So,
start again, repeat immediately, but with sugar this time. And that's another thing of like, don't take anything for granted in the sense of in the kitchen, if you think that that's the sugar container, you might want to just dip your finger in before and make sure that nobody who lives with you switched it into the salt container, which is what happened in our house. But
exactly.
No blame.
No blame.
And I have to ask you both the really difficult question. What is your favorite cake?
Well, for me, I mean, that having pondered it for a long time, I would go to the lemon pound cake, but I also love the cheesecake. And in our family, the honey cake is something that's made very often for everybody. You know, every minute somebody, you turn around and somebody's handing you a honey cake. So those, I think those three for me.
Yeah.
I love all the cakes in the book, I have to say. I mean, really, we edited it down to cakes that we both thought these are terrific and basic, and everybody has to know these cakes. But I guess the lemon pound cake. What's your favorite?
You know what one I really like? The yellow cake with salt caramel glaze. That's I love yellow cake.
Sounds good.
It's so good. And I do like the olive oil cake. That again, just because it's so easy, and that's one of those cakes that gets better and better. By the day three, it's really good. And it's really good for breakfast with coffee. So
every cake is good for breakfast. We discovered, by the way, there's no cake on earth that isn't good for breakfast with coffee.
That is true. And I learned to make a pavlova, doing this book, and I was always intimidated by it. And one of our mutual friends makes this beautiful pavlova every, she has a terrace in the city, and we have this, we always have this great Father's Day party, and she makes this pavlova, and I've been in awe of it. And she was one of those people who said, oh no, it's really easy. And then I said, and then I made it, and I said, it's kind of easy. It's pretty easy and totally satisfying, because meringue is, once you've got it right, it's easy. And you just fill it up with whipped cream and berries, and what could be wrong with that?
I have to say, this is a book that makes me feel like I could make any cake in it, and I don't think I've ever looked at a baking book that I felt that way about. So thank you.
Well, that's thank you. Yeah,
that's true.
That's great to hear.
It's such a great book, and it really celebrates cake as a constant through our lives and as a universal, nostalgic, incredibly powerful, iconic food. It's called Cake by Myra Kallman with recipes by Barbara Scott Goodman, and you can get it. It's out now. And thank you both so much for talking with us today.
Thank you very
thank you,
much.
Thank you, Kara.
Check out the book and tune in next time on The Clever Cookster for more tips and tricks from the kitchens of the world's best cooks.